We finished last week with John have a vision. I hope you remember. The vision of seven angels with seven last plagues. He saw a people that had been victorious over the beast in its image and over the number of its name. And by the way, how many people here doesn't know to play any kind of instrument? Raise your hand. I don't know any kind. I don't know play any kind of instrument. I have hope for you. Okay? Because the Bible says that God gave harps to them and they were singing the song of God's servant Moses to the Lamb. So at least harp you play in the heaven. Okay? And the text says that great and marvelous. This is the verse 4 in chapter 15. Great and marvelous. This is what the song. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just as true are your ways, King of nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy, and all nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Revelation 15, 1 to Revelation 16, 21, begins and ends with two words, wrath and finish. Wrath and finish. And you can see in verse 1, and the Bible says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. 16:17 said, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, it's done, it's finished. 16:19 says, and the great city was split in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon, the great, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his first wrath. What is the meaning of these two words in the context of Revelation, the book of Revelation? The Cambridge Dictionary defines wrath as an extreme anger. It's embarrassing to say, but I remember myself when I was 21 years old, in the seminar already. I accepted Jesus with 20 years old, and after 6 months that I accepted Jesus, I went to a Bible institute. So, I'm still very young in faith. And for people that are close to me, know that I'm very energetic. And I probably know the term, sanguineous character. And usually I say that I'm not sanguineous, I'm hemorrhagic. Because this is what I am. And now it's a lot better after more than 22 years that I accepted Christ. But with 6 months, imagine I with 20 years old, 21 years old, new in faith. So I was in the Bible Institute. And I don't remember exactly what's happened. But one girl made something that I didn't like. But I could not punch her. I was in a Bible Institute, so, you know. But I was so mad, that I take out my shirt in front of her. I was outside. I was clean in the garden, something. I don't remember exactly. Just the embarrassed moment I never forget. I just take out my shirt, the white shirt, like, and I tear the shirt up in front of her. because I was like, this was wrath. I just want to say that the word wrath here, the wrath of God, is not an expression of an intense explosion of anger. That God was so mad that he judged everybody because he was, oh, no. No. Leon Morris defines the wrath of God as it's God's strong and settled opposition to all that is evil. But what does this mean, the word finished? Finish is finish everything that needs to be done in your for unholy sin like me and like you to enter into a relationship with God. Next. Look for Acts chapter 4, verse 11, 12. Jesus is the stone you builders reject, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no another way. God gave the only way. This only way is Jesus Christ. It's finished. You can stop to sin your whole life. You can live in an apartment or maybe in a room for your whole life without talk with nobody, but you still sin because in your mind you sin. But everything is finished. What is finished is that in the cross is the judgment of the sin of those who come to Jesus. Our sins were judged in Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So what's happened is, when you believe in Christ, when you come to Christ, when Jesus looks for your life, when God looks for your life, he doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. In my mind helps, at least, is the idea that no, I don't like pink. So, the idea that when you believe in Christ, you are far, but when you believe in Christ, you go under the cross. So, God
won't see you there. He didn't see you. He see help you
understand. It's done. We don't have to do anything anymore. But our life now have to reflect this blessing. Because I'm so blessed with the forgiveness of my sins that everything that I have to do in my life now is to please him, who bought me to the blood of Jesus. I don't need to fill up all, okay, I give a tithe for the church. I didn't say any bad word today. I didn't say, you know, check today, to be saved. But I will try to do everything right, because I want to see my Father happy with me. Because I cannot do anything in this world that can pay what Jesus did on the cross. It's not about what I am or what I do. It's what I am in Jesus Christ. It's done. Before we take a look on the seven bowls, we need to understand three things first. First, what John is describing here are symbols that Jesus used. John has described the symbols of realities, not reality themselves. So when you read Revelation 15, 16, and you see the angels came with bowls and wrath and pour out on the earth, don't think that if this happened now, when you look outside the church, we see angels come with bowls. This is what John saw. This is all a symbolic presentation of a terrible reality of the judgment. This is will happen. The persons of powers that we see here in their wild customs, dragons, beasts, they are not true. I have an example here, because in Revelation 5, Jesus is presented as a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Can you believe Jesus like that? It's scary, yeah? You know? Imagine you go to heaven and see Jesus. Jesus with seven horns, a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. Jesus doesn't really exist like that. But what does it mean? Jesus is immensely wise, seven eyes. Jesus is immensely strong, seven horns. And he's still bearing the scars of his sacrificial death. He's the lamb. So this is, it's just symbols. The second point here is this judgment emerges from our inability to fulfill the moral laws established by God and from the presence and character of the Holy God. This whole judgment we see in these chapters, it's a just judgment. It's a just judgment. It's not because just God was so mad that he just, okay, I decide to punish everyone. No. In verse 5, chapter 15, John had another vision. He saw the temple, the tabernacle of the covenant is open. First, we need to remember that it is the same tabernacle of testimony of the Old Testament. Where there, we have the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Remember that? It is in this tabernacle that you can find the Ten Commandments. So, the pour out of the bowls is there, therefore, a natural consequence of our sins. The human being could not fulfill God's moral laws. This is what's happened. As a consequence comes judgment. Second, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony, it's a place that we meet with God. Remember, the another name they use is they call the tent of the meeting. It's a place where we, as a human being, come close to God. But sin doesn't have space or place before the God's universe. He is holy. So, the bowls are, therefore, the natural, automatic consequence, reflex of God's holiness. Remember, God gave already the solution. The solution is Jesus Christ. And he still holds all this during the history. Wait for people and more people come to Christ. The third thing here is the seven bowls are not a separate event from the seven seals and the seven trumpets, but a different perspective of the same judgment. This is the idea. We first see things from one perspective. The judgment comes with a perspective of seven seals. Then we see the same thing, the same judgment, with a different perspective, the seven trumpets. And then we see the same thing from yet another perspective, the seven bowls. How I can take a look for on the seven trumpets and seven bowls side by side. The first trumpet affects the earth. The first bowl affects the earth. The second trumpet affects the sea. The second bowl affects the sea. The third trumpet affects the rivers. The third bowl affects the rivers. And goes on. The same thing. From the temple, John continued. From the temple came the seven angels with seven plagues. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God. When all angels received the bowls filled with the wrath of God, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were complete. Then John heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." And now you have the list. The first one, the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, an ugly, painful sores, an open skin infection broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast. This is important to see, because this was not for everyone. This judgment here, it's upon those having chose evil instead God. It's a consequence for their sins. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood, killing every living thing in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl on the river and springs of water, and they became blood. What the second? Why? The second and third bowl turned the sea, rivers, and spring in blood. Why? Verse 5 and 6, chapter 16, give the answer. Then I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "You are just in this judgment, O Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." Because the force of the Antichrist shed the blood of the Christ people, they are received the just judgment. So the second and third bowl brings blood that kills everything. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. The sun was so strong that people get scorched, but even under such terrible judgment, people did not repent. And you see in this bowls, in this judgment, again and again, people did not repent. And I just start to think about it. Why? These people are crazy. They see the things happen. It's not natural things. They can see there's a judgment here. God is real. But they don't repent. On and on, they said they just start to blaspheme God. Why? Why? I believe that you live so many years in evil, close to evil, so many years, reject God, that your heart start to be like a real rock. And doesn't matter what God can do to show his love, but it's harder and harder to believe in him because of your relationship with evil. These people worship the devil. These people worship this religion system that try to separate them from God. And it's harder and harder to come back to God. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into the darkness. Now the judgment comes to the throne of the beast, but even though the people refuse to repent. Look what said here. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pangs and their sores. But they refused to repent what they had done. It's a terrible image of what will happen here. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Its water was dried up to prepare the way from the kings from the east. John says here that this river is dry up so the kings can come from the east. We don't know exactly come where. Come to Rome, come to Jerusalem. We don't know if we're sure. But before the seventh angel poured out his bowl, John says in Revelation 16, 13, 14, then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Here you see that the false prophet, the beast, they made so many signs to convince the kings of the world to fight against someone, somebody, or something that represents God. We don't know here exactly what will be. In one battle that became known as the Battle of Armageddon. I think this is the name, Armageddon. But before, when you listen to this word, the Armageddon, we attempted to try, it's almost a Star Wars fight, evil, the force against the, yeah? But the truth is that this battle is not fought, never. In Revelation chapter 19, we see that the battle of Armageddon is never fought. The kings may be there in that place that nobody knows exactly where it will be. But the truth is that this battle never happened. It never will happen. Because the resistance of the evil or the power of the evil will stop. Only with one thing. Jesus show up. And that's it. Jesus didn't need even to fight. The Bible said that he just show up. Said, I'm here. Done. All the time I heard about this battle, Armageddon, in Portuguese is Armageddon. We always think, or I always think, in a real battle, that Jesus come, angels, you know, there is, but no, this will not happen. And the devil knows that. And he will keep trying to keep everybody far from God. Because he knows that his time is going out. The kings may gather, but the battle is not never fought. The resistance ends simply by Jesus Christ showing up. Then we have the seventh angel pour out his bow into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne say, "It's done. It's done. It's done." Now we have Revelation 17, and you remember to the book of Revelation, there is not a historical sequence that goes in front, go back. So here, Revelation 17 describes the downfall of Babylon. Many scholars agree that for John, at least for John, the Babylon was the city of Rome. And they think about that because the old city of Rome was built on the top of the seven hills. So this is one of the reasons. But when John called here Babylon the mother of prostitutes, John brought a key phrase to understand the whole passage. The mother of the prostitutes, it's the mother of many Babylons. Maybe for the time of John, at the time, Rome was Babylon. But we have our Babylon now. We have our Babylon now. And the phrase suggests here that whatever Babylon John was faced in the first century, it was not the last. And Babylon probably refers to religious, political, and commercial aspect of the Antichrist empire that we can see today, of course. So it's not only one city, one place. Revelation 17 focuses on the prostitute, the false religion system controlled by the beast. One thing we can say for sure, Babylon, whatever form she takes, is the opposite of the heavenly Jerusalem. Now it's very interesting because we can compare what the devil do, Satan. He tried to copy everything from God. He want to be like a God. So Babylon here, it's a counterfeit from the Jerusalem, the seat of God. The prostitute tries to be the bride. That woman with red, scarlet, that John tried to be the bride, the church. It's a counterfeit of the bride of Jesus. The dragon, the beast from the sea, and the false prophet is a counterfeit of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They try to do this. Revelation 18 is describing now the judgment of the beast and his empire. The beast appears here to represent the satanic influence throughout the whole history. This is the whole history. Satan tried to blind the human being so they cannot understand Jesus Christ, what Jesus did on the cross. This is the whole history. The seven heads are its attempt to rule all world through the history. But the vision here that the beast and his empire will be judged is an assurance that the enemies of God will be judged and destroyed one day. I know sometimes we ask, why take so long? Why take so long? But one thing we can believe, on God's time, one day everything will be done. We don't know exactly when, but God knows. And one day everything will be done. God never made a mistake. Revelation 19, 1-10 begins with rejoice in heaven by the angels and the redeeming. Hallelujah. It's translate from Hebrew. It means praise the Lord. Verse 2 said the blood of the saints has been avenged. Here, John is described the marriage of the Lamb, the wedding feast, is a reference to the end of the long engagement between Christ and church. It's a long period of engagement. We are waiting. Wait for that day. But this will happen. And that day, no more tears, no more sick, no more death. Everything will be renewed. This vision is here to encourage the readers through their tribulations. Yeah, we still fight. We still want war with you. And the evil system, the Babylon today, will continue to try to separate human from God. And we are in the middle of this war. But we know in who we believe. And He's taking care of us. He's taking care of us. Just a quick recap on today's main ideas. First, John is describing symbols of reality Jesus uses, not reality themselves. So Jesus gave symbols to John. And John described the symbols. It's not dragons, it's not beasts, so it's this, no, one thing, but there is a judgment here that it comes. Second, this awful judgment emerged from our inability to fulfill the moral laws established by God and from the presence and character of the Holy God. So the judgment that will come from this earth come because as a human being, we cannot fulfill the whole, all moral laws. And God is so holy that we cannot come close to Him. And we need relationship, and we cannot be there without be 100% pure, holy, as He is. But God gave the solution through Jesus Christ. The seven bowls are not a separate event from the seven seals and seven trumpets, but a different perspective of the same judgment. This vision is ensuring that the enemies of God will be judged and destroyed at God's chosen time. In the cross, it was finished, everything that needed to be done in order for unholy sinners to enter into relationship with the Holy God. There is no another way. Only in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ. You need to believe that. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Because you are in control of everything. The history is in your hands. Our lives is in your hands. And we praise you. Give us strength to overcome the trials of our life. So you can stay firm, stay faithful to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.